Achievements until like 50.
Damn you, numbers! Be more important.
Maybe we'll just stop at like 50 and start over again, and then
we should start counting in like Roman numerals.
Hang on, okay.
This is podcast X.
But yes, as you can hear, joining me this week we have Daniel. Say hello. Did he go bye bye?
He is on PSN, so it just went down.
Is he Skyping from PSN?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
I'm afraid for my personal information. And we have Jason.
What's up?
It happens every year. But as we get closer and closer to E3, there's going to be less of a focus on actual games we're playing on this podcast and more news, just because you end up getting so much news and announcements coming out of, you know, every event leading up to E3 that the next 3 weeks should be kind of hectic with that. So, I mean, I guess we might as well start with the big news, since it's been the intro point for our podcast like the last 3 weeks, is that part of PSN is finally back up online.
Woohoo! To be fair, it's the important parts.
It's some of the important parts.
That's true.
Because you can play online, but your friends just isn't updated yet. So, like, it's like I'm playing online, but nobody else exists. So I think that's your friends just friends chat options, trophy syncing, and stuff like that. Well, trophy syncing I think exists, but you can't compare trophies to anybody else's. And of course, the PSN store isn't back online yet, so it's one-third of the way there. But, you know, after 3.5 weeks, it's happy to see some type of progress coming out.
Yeah, I was going to say it's better than it was, like, a day ago, so.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's odd that how Sony's handled this whole situation, because they updated their blog, I think, on Tuesday, saying that it'd be up in a couple more days. And that was pretty much it for the week. And then last night they were like, update this firmware so that when PSN comes back online, you can, kind of get a jump on it. And then it was like a couple of hours later, it's like, oh, here you go, PSN is back up. There you go. So it's been a really odd to handle situation.
Still can't play Mortal Kombat, though.
No?
Because it needs an online pass. I need to go on the PS store to download it, don't you?
I thought they allowed that, system.
No, you need to, they have PS, PlayStation Store. Oh, God, sorry, I've got another call.
So while he takes this, it's back online. As I said last night, it's kind of an end of an era for me personally. I have nothing else to make fun of for it. But I was sad for a bit, and then I realized that this is Sony with the PS3, so give them a week and I'll have something else that they'll screw up. I'm happy that it's back for people who play it, honestly. I, updated the firmware, I made sure I could connect, and then I went back to my 360, so that's pretty much the story of the generation for me.
Ouch.
Well, it's granted, I pay 30, 40 bucks a year for the Xbox Live, but, and it's not even so much the features anymore, it's just that...
The security?
Security is a new thing, but I was going to say, it's just the amount of friends I know who have a 360 compared to a PS3, and that's always kind of been the big thing for me, is that, like, when you have, right now, I think my friends just on PSN, I think account is like 45. My friends just on Xbox Live is 97.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing when people are asking me, like, oh, which one should I get? And it's always, well, what are most of your friends on? And the answer is usually 360.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, oh, what do I get backups on? Well, the PS3 might accept you better, but there's 10 friends playing it on the 360, so I'm going to go with that version. It's the same reason I got F Dead on my 360 instead of like on the PC or something, because I had a group of friends who were willing to play it there. And that's always going to be the thing, is that it's like what I call mind shit, is that if you have this control, this idea that this is the console to get this game on, it's hard to overcome, and that's kind of what the 360 has. It makes up for the lack of excuses with this mind shit that, like, Call of Duty is the 360 brand, even though it comes out on the PS3 and the PC.
And everything else on demand.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like, that's the thing. It's like, you hear Call of Duty, you see 360, and you can see it in the sales figures where it outsells the PS3 version, like 2-1. And I guess since we are talking about it, it's no surprise that Activision has announced a Modern Warfare 3. Is it called Modern Warfare 3? Because everything I see just had an MW3.
It's called
that's the logo, but...
We had this problem when Modern Warfare 2, because Infinity War just wanted it to be Modern Warfare 2, and then Activision were like, no, we're going to call it Call of Duty, otherwise people won't think it's a Call of Duty game.
But even then it was fine, because they just put the little tiny Call of Duty on the box. But now it's Infinity War is pretty much nuked, they don't matter as much as Call of Duty. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, MW3. You'll figure it out. Yes, and, well, the thing here is that, for once, I guess the video game journalism actually did their job and uncovered a story, because they pretty much leaked the entire premise of Modern Warfare 3.
Although I have to go and buy the game now, which is brilliant.
Yeah, like, they leaked the characters who are gonna die, like, all the locations. There's, like, 15 multiplayer maps, there's two types of spec ops, and it's just, like, people are complaining.
It's, like, stuff we're gonna hear about in 3 weeks anyway.
Well, some of it. I don't think, cause, like I said, I think they pretty much leaked the entire mission structure of the game.
But here's the problem that you were talking about, you said about a couple of times, where people get mad even though they went and looked at the article anyway. It doesn't, you know?
Yeah. Like, I saw, Modern Warfare 3.
I went and looked at the article because I don't care.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like Modern Warfare 3. It's like, oh, okay. And then I went about my day, but I realized to a lot of people, they saw it, they're like, oh, shiny. And they read it, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I understand that Kotaku, I didn't read the article personally, so I don't know if they had like a giant spoiler warning over it or something, but
I think they did. Or at least all the stories I saw did.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, if you want to read it and it has a spoiler warning and then you complain that it had a spoiler in it, that's nobody's fault but your own. What I'm not liking about this reveal so far is that after it got the kind of forced Activision's hand to release some teaser trailers, I don't like this whole 3 business, like the America, the Europe, the England, the Germany, the France.
It's nothing new though.
It's nothing. That's the thing though. It's kind of cheesy.
It is.
I kind of expect something better from the premier gaming franchise.
Well, do you though? When all the creative people left the studio.
Well, I mean, I still kind of expected something special.
The problem that Modern Warfare 2 has is these cities are basically the equivalent of the ice level, the lava level, the forest level. You know, they feel like they have to just go on these random places that are complete nonsensical, because people are just going to complain if it's all in one country or all in one the same place.
Yeah. And, I mean, I understand, and, you know, part of it is that they also want to give, you know, they want to expand the appeal of the series or something like that. Because,
how could you
expand
it anymore?
Well, I mean,
it's the lowest common denominator, really, of, you know, what you could class as hardcore games.
Like I said, I don't want, Call of Duty is a very odd brand for me, because, like I said before, it's kind of awkward now that everybody else is on the hate bandwagon. I've disliked it since, like, 2. But I've just never really cared for that type of game, like the whole aiming down the sights business.
Yeah.
See, I like that. It's, you know, I mean, this is years of just, these repetitive, like, missions are all just like, okay, well, here comes this wave of enemies, just act like Superman and shoot them all. Okay, and now run up 100 feet, rinse, wash, repeat for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then it's too short.
I mean, but here's the thing, and this is always an odd defense. It's like people are like, you know, but Call of Duty isn't about the campaign anymore. And I'm just like, if you take the single player out of the game, it's just kind of, I don't see the point in upgrading.
New maps, I mean, new mechanics, new perks.
Yeah, but
rebalance, new weapon set. I don't know.
I mean, again, I've just never been a huge fan of it. It's just kind of, you know, it's the biggest game in the, it's the biggest game in franchise, well. And it's the biggest multi-platform game in franchise, I'll go with that. So you have to give it attention and stuff like that. And I'm happy that somebody actually did news and they, I mean, granted, I'm assuming that Kotaku probably shot themselves in the foot with any type of future relationships with Activision.
But, well, that's what Gawker Media are all about anyway, isn't it? Because they did it with, Gizmodo did it with Apple, so.
They don't care about that. Which, you know, it props them, though, that they don't care about that.
Let's put it this way, right? It's some proper articles on Kotaku for once.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, it's proper articles in gaming journalism in general, I think. But yeah, in addition to Call of Duty, I mean, being that this was all took place on Friday, there were a ton of other announcements this week. I don't even know which one would be the biggest one, but
Soul Calibur 5.
I was gonna say it's either Soul Calibur 5 or Hitman Absolution, but we'll go with Soul Calibur 5 first.
Woohoo!
Soul Calibur 5 it's coming at a time where fighting games are kind of being rejuvenated. I just don't know if, because Soul Calibur was kind of in that period when fighting games were in the decline, and they were there for the entire bulk of it.
I don't know. People always say that, but it's really, all that happens is they go in waves, and, you know, it'll be next year or the year after, there'll be like a dearth of fighting games, and then the year after that, there will be a whole bunch. So it's just, there's only so many companies can make them, because there's only so many people that will buy and play them.
Well, that's what I meant, is that it was in the decline so much. Like, at the end of the day, the two biggest fighting game franchises are Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Are they?
Well, I mean, as far as kind of fighting game goes, I think Tekken probably sells better than Street Fighter at this point.
I don't know. I don't think you could really say. I think you could say Street Fighter is probably the best. I don't think you could really let Mortal Kombat in there.
Well, Mortal Kombat's is one of the best selling ones because it's always.
It's just the hot brand games, right now.
Well, that's the thing. It was a hot brand when it first came out. It's a hot brand now.
I think the main reason why it's a hot brand now is because it's the first really, really good classic style Mortal Kombat game being released in a very long time.
Yeah, in five games. Whereas, I don't know.
Which is what my point was getting to. Well, I mean, we had numbers. MPD had opened to almost a million units in about a week and a half in April. Which is impressive no matter how you cut it.
Yeah.
It opened more than Street Fighter 4 and Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So you can't say it's a small franchise. And
but
this wasn't,
I don't think we can just be like, oh yeah, it's up there too, though, with
I was also going to say that you also have to factor in the fact that this game launched the same day as Portal 2 and SOCOM 4. So it's not like it didn't have any competition on that day. I mean, granted, yes, SOCOM's not that big a franchise, but it had three big games come out at the same
day. But they're all three of them are relatively niche. But Mortal Kombat.
Well, again, I don't think Mortal Kombat is niche. I think Mortal Kombat more than Street Fighter is a mainstream fighting game because anybody can pick it up and play.
Yeah, I think
Street Fighter kind of started eating itself when it became so hardcore of a fighting game that you'd have to be a Street Fighter expert to play it.
Yeah, but it's like Daniel was saying, like this is the first good one in a long time. So yeah. You know, I really don't like saying, oh, it's like arguably the best if it's, you know, it's been a laughing stock forever.
Well, I don't mean the best as in, oh, this is the fighting game you achieved to be. I mean the best as in it's the one that's kind of the most, you know, like, if you think fighting games, most people think Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. You never hear, like, okay, Street Fighter versus Tekken's coming out, but really you still hear people say, I want Street Fighter versus a Mortal Kombat game, because those are the two fighting game universes that people really care about.
I mean, we're kind of just splitting hairs, but I would think Tekken more, for sure.
Okay, well, we're talking about Soul Calibur 5.
Which is the most important, because that is the true answer for best series. fighting?
I think it depends, but I'm interested in this game. I'm kind of curious to see. Part of it is, one, I'm kind of curious if it's coming out for Project Cafe. Two, I'm kind of curious if they bring back Yoda, because that was probably one of the cheapest characters in a fighting game ever.
Yeah.
I think that was just a one-off thing, though.
Well, I mean, you could say that, but it helps sell.
But they haven't brought, they haven't had a double guest appearance ever.
Well, I was kind of curious, because if it came out for Project Cafe, I was wondering if they'd bring back Link, because I could be mistaken, but I know Soul Calibur 2 on the GameCube was the best one of those three.
Yeah, it was.
So, which always surprised me, because they never brought out Soul Calibur 3, even though, like,
well, yeah, that was the thing, is 2 was sold worst on PS2, and 3 was exclusive. But that was just all money. I'm pretty sure Sony paid for that.
Yeah, but yeah. So, Calibur 5. So, you know, it's interesting to see it come back. I think it's due out next year.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken.
One of those big 2012, who knows when it'll be. 4 was released in July, so for whatever that's worth.
And 4 was released in, what, 2008?
Yeah, July 2008.
Yeah, so 4 years is kind of a long time for a fighting game, but...
But that's good, though,
I think. I guess I'm used to the Street Fighter Capcom model, where they just release updates every 6 months.
See, but the Soul Calibur games are so good and well-balanced and complete that you don't need those constant updates. Because they're long-lasting. Like, they could hold off on 5 for another 5 years, and I would still be playing Soul Calibur 4. Because I still think it's the best fighting game there has been. I mean, not... No, they want to make money, so they're not going to, but...
And in addition to that, they also announced a Tekken CG movie. I think that's what they announced.
Yeah, it was.
Because, you know, Japanese companies making CG movies off of their franchises have never gone wrong. So...
They sell, like, hotcakes regardless, though.
Huh?
They sell, like, hotcakes regardless. A lot of the time.
Well, I was talking more about The Spirits Within, not so much Avantchild.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I think Square's still paying for The Spirits Within. Almost a decade later, so. And Hitman Absolution was announced. Anybody here a Hitman fan?
No. The game's it's too grainy, if that makes any sense for me. You have to be very specific about what you do and how you do it, and it requires a lot of learning of the levels, and I'm not one who's a fan of that.
Fair enough. So it's kind of too linear for you?
No.
Or too structured?
Yes. Well, no, not too structured, because this is the thing, is it's not very structured, because there's a multitude of things that go on.
Oh, I thought you meant that you had to compete in such a specific way.
Well, it is that, but that's not really it being too structured, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in one level, and you can do it in a multitude of ways, and I don't... It requires learning a lot of the time of like, people's patterns and, you know... It's hard to describe, but it's not a game for me.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Me neither. I mean, I've only played, like, a demo of one game, so it's not like I've really tried, but it never really appealed to me that much. And I think it was mostly the controls the one time I played it. They were just kind of clunky.
Happens. I guess, and the other announcement, and I'm still kind of... It's the Mortal Kombat Arcade Classic, spelled with a K, that's coming out for Xbox Live and PSN. Which I believe is... Now, I was a little confused about this. I could be mistaken, but it's Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and Trilogy, correct? And not just Mortal Kombat Trilogy Arcade Edition.
Wait. Well, 1, 2, and 3, right?
1, 2, and I think they said Trilogy.
But wouldn't 1, 2, and 3 be the Trilogy?
Well, no, I think... Because there's a Mortal Kombat Trilogy, which is like 3 with a bunch of characters. Because there's Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and then there's Mortal Kombat 3, and then there's Mortal Kombat Trilogy, which just brings back all the characters who weren't in Mortal Kombat 3, and then there's Ultimate Mortal Kombat, which is, like, all the characters and then some, and then I think that was released on the N64.
I have no idea.
See, somebody's not a Mortal Kombat fan. I guess he's
the point
violent.
Is it's a remake.
Kind of
a, I think the point, well, the point is it's a remake.
It's not a remake, it's a re-release.
It's
not
port.
Even a remake, it's a re-release. Yeah. It's just worse.
Well,
why,
I think it's worse. It's an arcade.
All the time,
it's an arcade
why make
game.
A new game when you could just re-release an old one and people will buy it anyway? I mean,
they just made a new game.
This is the, and this is the thing, right? Is they just made a new game, which is essentially Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, smashed into one go, with, like, updated visuals and updated gameplay and stuff. And now they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna release the old ones. We're gonna release the old
ones. There's
see,
nothing wrong with that.
With this.
Yeah, I mean, people
it's
want
an arcade
it.
Release,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not
a retail.
Like it's not a retail.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
I do mind, because how many remakes have we seen, re-releases have we seen, on Xbox Live Arcade?
Why
but
are they
kind
bad?
Of, that was always the point of, I always thought that was part of the appeal to those services, is that you get these classic games on
yeah,
your, you know.
Somebody's going to want them, and they'll pay for them, and there's nothing wrong with that, and then you don't have to buy them. You can just keep playing.
I don't have to buy them, but it pisses me off, because they're too busy releasing old stuff to make...
See, I don't even think
no,
that's true.
No, they're not, they just... They just released a new one, and you know they're working on another new one. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I know what's it called was always big on, what is it, what are their names? Backbone, who always did a bunch of these games?
Backbone?
So, yeah. The Backbone, who, I think they weren't the ones who did, you know, they do, like, the Sega ports and stuff like that. So it's not really taking any type of resources from any company, really.
I just but prefer new games to old ones. If I want to play the old ones, I go play them as they were.
Yeah, but you see, again, it depends on the type of person you are. To me, it's kind of like, oh, instead of having to hook up a Genesis or a Super Nintendo or GameCube or a Dreamcast, it's like, oh, I can just download it on my Xbox and play it there. And it saves me a lot of time and trouble. It's not a big deal. If this was the only Mortal Kombat game they had coming out, that would be an issue, I guess. Or if they were trying to sell it to you as a $40 retail package and saying it's like a Mortal Kombat HD re-release, that's an issue. But for like a $15 arcade package, it's not that big of a deal to me.
Plus, maybe you have people that are playing the new one for the first time as their first Mortal Kombat game, and they want more, and they can just go download these re-releases. I don't think there's anything bad about it.
No, what I think is bad is if you end up in something like Turtles in Time where you get a remake, and then it's crap. But that's personal opinion.
But even that, then didn't they have the original one already
no,
on
the
arcade?
The original,
oh, they don't?
No, they
well.
Have the original arcade game, but not Turtles in Time's arcade game, if that makes any sense. But yeah. I mean, it's something to look forward to. Ubisoft announced their... A bunch of companies announced their financial juice this week. EA's bleeding money. I think Square's bleeding money. Activision's making money hand over fist because of Call of Duty.
When are they not?
Who else? I forget if Ubisoft is making or losing money. But yeah, there's a lot of companies. You know, EA's kind of in a better position now. It's kind of weird that EA's kind of suffering from actually trying different stuff now, like Mirror's Edge and Dead Space, where they're kind of rebuilding the company just beyond like your esports sequels.
I think they're in the long-term best shape of all the publishers, including Activision.
I think so, too. I mean, Activision's the most, you know, they're the most stable now, but Activision works on such a short-term basis.
Yeah, and like, I mean, if you think about it, they just have, I mean... just ignore Blizzard because they're kind of their own thing, and obviously they're just going to keep making money for them too. But other than Blizzard's stuff, all they have is Call of Duty, and that's going to run out at some point.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of licensed products, like they have Spider-Man and they have a new James Bond and stuff like that, which they already announced games for. But yeah, it's kind of like...
But that stuff doesn't even sell that much. I mean, I'm sure Spider-Man probably sells a good amount, but you know, those aren't franchises that you think about when you're like, all right, what are like the big ones? Like, EA doesn't have a Call of Duty, arguably, but they have a they have a bunch, they have a whole stable of franchises that are maybe like a tier down from that that'll sell multiple millions each.
Yeah, and if they give it enough time and actually nurture it, they can, you know, they can build these things up. And Ubisoft is kind of weird in that regard too, where they have a bunch of IPs. But then they have this huge giant of crap they do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they have, you know, like, they have the Assassin's Creed series, which is like their bread and butter nowadays. Actually,
it's Call of Duty nowadays.
I was about to say, I think their bread and butter is actually like Just Dance, but...
I think they're trying to be more like Activision, which... I don't know. We'll see how...
Isn't a bad thing?
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, the Activision's probably the one with... Well, not the one with the worst long-term outlook, but they have anything but a solid long-term outlook at all.
Well, you know, you're right. They have a terrible long-term outlook because they have so many...
They're relying on one franchise that will burn out very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is...
They have, like, six studios behind this one franchise, which is not how you do it. It's not how you do it.
We didn't even mention that, but there are, if I'm not mistaken, there are three teams working on Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3.
Sledgehammer, Raven, and Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
Probably Treyarch's helping, too, I'm sure. Not at their point.
Yeah, so at this point, it's kind of like, you just think about, that could have been three different games. That you just kind of... I mean, granted, Call of Duty won't come out in a long
time. It actually have been three different Call of Duty games.
Well, no, they even... Like, Sledgehammer's Call of Duty game got delayed because they had to help on this one.
Yeah, I think they... I think they were all working on Call of Duty because I think Raven was doing, like, the map packs for Call of Duty and then Infinity War. And then they just took it on and it was too big for them, so they just kind of mended all the teams. Because originally there was supposed to be two Call of Duty games out this year. Which really won't help the saturation, but...
Activision don't saturate markets. What are you talking about? They
blame
it on the consumers. That's what they do. Not off, sire.
But yeah, Activision is, I mean, again, it's interesting that, I mean, in the long term, I think it's going to hurt them, but for now, they can kind of get away with it, I guess.
But like, for how long? Because I think their days are already numbered. And I thought it might have happened with Black Ops last year, which obviously it didn't. But every year it's going to be harder. And this year, you know, they're going right up against the best shooter product probably, what's looking like anyway, that EA's ever put out.
Yeah, but I don't... People don't understand this. It doesn't matter how good Battlefield 3 is. It doesn't matter how much better Battlefield 3 is than Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's kind of been my
thing. Call of Duty is mass market, and Battlefield is not mass market.
But it's not that far off. Like, you would have probably said the same thing about Call of Duty and Halo, 6 years ago or something? And
no,
and EA has plenty of money to make sure people know about it, too. It's already starting. They're going to be aggressive with it. They were with Bad Company, too, and they carved out a pretty good chunk for themselves with that, and this is a much bigger game than that. This is a marquee title for them, and it just graphics alone, it just blows it away.
This is the thing, though, is right now I am not getting Battlefield 3 because what I've seen of it is crap, because all I've seen is graphics. That's all I've seen.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's kind of what people want. That sounds negative, but it is what it is. People, you know, I'm not going to say the game won't sell on its own and it's not a good game, but that's how you get your foot in the door. You sell people on shiny graphics because...
Well, especially when you're, like, touting the advantages of your brand new engine that you're building this game on. So, I mean, they're still kind of... This is, right, so far it's been more about Frostbite 2 than about Battlefield 3 itself, which, come, like, E3, that's going to start to change.
I wanted Battlefield out October or so. I assume they're going to start the game because they've already had gameplay trailers, haven't they?
It's been more like been one 12-minute one released in bits.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyhow, and Ubisoft also announced a guitar game like 6 years after everybody.
And now, didn't they announce that, like, a month after Activision killed Call of Duty? Not Call of Duty.
Guitar
I wish
Hero.
They would kill Call of Duty. Guitar Hero. Yeah.
Rocksmith, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been announced for a while.
Okay. Oh, okay, then I'm just showing the uptake. It's using a real guitar, or you can buy a real guitar to use with it or something like that?
Yeah, it uses a real guitar, and I don't know how it works, but...
Yeah. here's something that should make Daniel happy since he has these Chrono Triggers coming out on the Virtual Console. Well, actually, I guess Chrono Trigger is coming out on the Virtual Console today since this comes out on a Monday.
Well, oh no, the Virtual Console is different because it just releases games in their raw form. They don't change it in any way. And Chrono Trigger is Chrono Trigger in particular is a different case because, I know a lot of people that they keep talking about Chrono Trigger and how they haven't ever released a Chrono Trigger game in forever. And so I suppose if you're not going to release a new one.
But if you just wanted, like, okay, I mean, yeah, Chrono Trigger is different. But, I mean, going back to Mortal Kombat, if you just want the old ones with leaderboards and online multiplayer.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I mean, I guess I guess the difference between a Virtual Console and the Xbox Live and PSN would only be that
and the price,
Virtual Console.
Price is a big difference as well.
Well, I mean, yeah, it depends,
because
we don't know what more.
Xbox Live Arcade, oh, we'll sell it for 1,200 points because everybody else sells everything for 1,000.
Yeah, I was about to say, but you also have to factor in that it's three different games.
But they're not that big. If they're just re-releases, they're not.
Well, it's not that big, but if you think about it, it's compared to like the Virtual Console. If you were to do like the Genesis or Super Nintendo version, you're looking at three $8 games, which it comes out to $24.
The
which is more
Kombat ones are the arcade ports.
Okay, but I mean, I don't know. I know Virtual Console does arcade games. I don't know like, if it has a set price for arcade games. I'm just basing it off. I know they have a set price for the Super Nintendo and Genesis games and TurboGrafx-16. But yeah, that comes out today. The thing that I am kind of iffy about that is that they did the remake for it on the DS not too long ago. Was it last year or the year before that?
Well, obviously it didn't sell enough and they want to keep spreading it.
Oh, Square just likes re-releasing the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah, but I mean, again, is it bad because, you know, like Daniel said, like there's a lot of people that haven't played it and this is a game that some people say is one of, if not the best ever. So it's not bad to get them in these new outlets for new customers to try them or for people that loved it before to have a more convenient way to play it.
Well, I was just gonna say, I guess I'd buy that more if there wasn't just a re-release of this game on the DS like a year and a half ago. Cause that, I mean, like, how different is the audio? And don't tell me that people don't own a DS cause there's no system on the market that has sold more.
But maybe someone was tempted to get that, but they want to play it on their TV, so they'll buy it now.
Well, I guess the only difference would be that I would assume this is $8 compared to the $35 of the DS version.
Like, the thing is, like, it doesn't cost them that much money to bring it over to a new system. And they're gonna, not only will they make more money from it, but, like, people that would prefer it on there will have their preferred thing to play it on, you know?
Well, it's not even
so
that
everyone kind of wins.
At this point, I assume it costs third-party developers nothing to put games on the Virtual Console since Nintendo did the emulation. You just kind of like, oh, here's the game, put it up, and you're good to go. Speaking of, the 3DS eShop date has been delayed from the end of May to officially June 6th in the States and June 7th in Japan and Europe,
which means you're going to have to wait if you want to buy your demos from Capcom.
Which basically means that it's coming out the day before Nintendo's E3 press conference, so people are expecting something.
I don't think there's anything special, it's just they delayed it.
Well, I think, I don't expect anything major, but I do kind of expect Nintendo to have, if nothing else, a 3DS of trailers, possibly a few demos up that day on the device for people, you know, because it's really hard to see 3D in 2D.
Yeah. I suppose.
So, but I don't expect, people are saying, you know, all kind of crazy nonsense, like Nintendo's going to stream their press conference in 3D.
That's crazy.
But that's crazy, too.
Stream their press conference?
Well, they stream their press conference.
No, I'm just saying because the rumored name. Never mind.
Oh.
Forget
it. Yeah. But, I was about to say, one, it's like, I don't see Nintendo doing that. I don't see a company going from not embracing online that much to being like this marquee, like, we're going to stream our events on our devices. I don't even think Xbox does that yet.
No, they don't. Sony doesn't even really do that.
Well, I mean, that's not streaming. At that point, it's just putting a video up. And
Nintendo already said that they don't really know how to do online services like that, so...
Well, I mean, again, it depends on how they partner. But, again, I don't expect... The other thing is, like, personally speaking, I don't want to watch a conference on that tiny screen. I mean, again, I guess I get spoiled because I have G4 and they've been airing it in HD for the last 3 years.
I think Spike's doing it this year, which is good because G4 just got, like, thrown out of everything. I know DirecTV dumped them and that's what we have, so I don't get to see it anymore.
Oh, I get to see it. I always hope. I actually haven't been paying attention. I just kind of, like, I don't have the internet streaming anymore. I'm so happy about that. Because there's nothing worse than when you're waiting for something and it starts chugging. Ah, that used to piss me off so much. I want to see what they're showing. Oohs and ahs and But, yeah, I mean, I guess that will be the end of our new segment, so we can turn our focus to E3 and one of the big three this week. This week we're doing our discussion Microsoft. Has the potential to, as I just said, they have the potential to be the best or worst show of E3. Because as it stands right now, we're about 3 weeks outside of E3. By the time this comes out, 3 weeks from Microsoft's press conference.
So close. So close. And I'm actually looking forward to Microsoft's press conference the most, actually. Because they'll actually give me a reason to buy a game on my 360 in the next year.
I was going to say that they have the least known quantities going into this show because, honestly, they have Gears of War and Frozen as their big...
I was going to say, I'm going to look over that.
And Modern Warfare 3.
Well, I mean,
it will undoubtedly open with your single player gameplay of Modern Warfare 3, like it has.
Yeah, talk about their exclusive map packs.
And then they'll show gameplay of Assassin's Creed Revelations. I hope that's not how it goes because honestly, that would be a repeat of the SGS press conference. Like show 3 or 4 hardcore games, show a Halo teaser.
There's one, the Halo HD remake.
As I said before, I don't get excited about remakes.
No, but that'll be there.
Yeah, it'll be there.
The one
but
I don't want to go and buy, but I will go and buy anyway.
That's the one.
Yeah, so a Halo remake would be like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool, but it's not like, oh my gosh, it's E3 type of announcement. And if there is a remake, I don't see them announcing a Halo prop. Well, then again, I guess they announced ODST and Reach at the same time.
They didn't announce ODST and Reach at the same time. They demoed ODST and then announced Reach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if this remake is what they say and it comes out this year, they don't have to, they can demo it and then announce, like, Halo 4 or whatever comes out in 2012 or something like that.
See, I don't think they'll, outside of the Halo thing and Kinect games, which probably will include, like, quote-unquote hardcore Kinect games. I don't think they'll announce anything else for this year.
That's why I also think they have the potential to have the worst press conference, is that if they really don't go out there and announce much, they have a really thin lineup this year.
But okay,
because they have a ton of third-party games. I get that. Yeah. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, if you're going to buy if you're a new owner, if you're going to buy a PS3 or a 360, it's like, oh, I can get Gears of War or I can get... Like,
but that's where Kinect will come in.
Yeah, but
because
it depends.
There's not going to be that many people that are going to be like, oh, I still need to get my Xbox for, like Halo 5 when there's already been 3 Halo games on this system that didn't convince me to buy it before,
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm just like... They need something, and maybe they'll dust off the rear of old, they'll find them somewhere hidden underneath the Kinect demo kit, and they'll rip out like a Perfect
about?
Dark 2.
That would be
cool.
I played Perfect Dark Zero not so long ago, and I realized how that game was not great.
No, it's not a good game.
It may have been fun.
No, it's
but
bad.
It wasn't great.
And but that's why I want them to take another shot at it.
You also have to realize that in the time that Perfect Dark Zero has come out, there's been a ton of advancements for first-person shooters that they can rip off, and they can still rarefy.
This is the thing: they could have made Perfect Dark completely rip off Halo, and it would have still been good, and yet they didn't.
Well, I think at the time, it's like you wanted to have... It's the same way that Mario and Donkey Kong aren't the same type of game. Is that, yes, they're in the same genre, but you want them to be slightly different so that, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm just playing Halo with a new skin on it. That's kind of what happened with, what was that franchise? Brute Force.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll happen because, you know, I've heard that Perfect Dark 2 got canceled to basically make Rare a Kinect studio. First, then that started with Kinect Sports, and I'm sure they'll have something for this year. Kinect Sports Resort.
There you go.
Woohoo Island.
I wouldn't expect it. I would love to see it, but I wouldn't expect it.
I assume it's going to be a Kinect Sports or a Kinect Adventure, and it's going to be a Dance Central's too. I don't expect much in the way of new IPs from them, but...
I think
again,
rumored what was
Kingdom.
It? Oh, that too. But no, the Kinect, the Gears Kinect game or whatever. Gears
oh,
of
yes.
War style that got the trademark.
Wait, there's a Gears Kinect game?
It's rumored. It's supposed to be like on Rails. And there was a trademark and logo filing got dug up for it.
I have completely lost faith in Microsoft.
I hate how you sound so defeated already.
Nothing is sacred.
And Cliffy's been teasing like a big E3 reveal, so.
So yeah, Gears
of War on PS3.
What do you mean by sacred, though? I mean, at the end of the day, this is a business, and if it helps them sell more Kinects and helps them expand the Gears of War franchise, I don't see it as anything but a win-win for Microsoft.
Yeah, but
and what if they bring something to the table that
won't win? People who want think of the people who want the good games, though. I know this is a business, but I want good games.
And if nobody, there's nothing to say that it's going to be a bad game just because it's on Kinect. It's going to be a different game, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad game.
And it's Epic, so, you know, of all the studios, they're not, you know, they're probably not going to just try to go some super casual spin on it.
Oh, maybe they do. Maybe it's like a Gears of War rail shooter.
You know, I mean, it's not like Gears of War.
I don't see how a rail shooter would work on Kinect.
Well, I mean, if you don't have to worry about moving, all you have to do is aim. It would work like any other. Well, if it can do,
this is the thing. The Kinect has one thing that you need for shooting games. Does not have the one thing you need for shooting games, which is buttons.
I don't think you.
But you can use the controller too.
Or you could, again, well, then, it depends, granted,
then,
you're going
to get a Killzone
gonna,
3 situation where it's like, oh, do I use a controller where I can actually aim with the thing, or do I use motion controls? Oh, wait, I'm going to use a controller.
No, not like that. I mean, use them at the same time.
Yeah, but it still makes Kinect redundant, because how would you...
Or not use a controller, maybe use, like, a stick or something. Like,
yeah,
we keep forgetting that it's still, nobody's used it yet, but it's capable of doing that kind of thing.
I'm
kind
of curious if nobody's used it because of how stupid it looks, or because it's kind of difficult for them to... Because then you'd have to think about it, that you have to bundle your game with something for people to play with, because you can't just say, oh, find something in your house to play this game with. It's kind of like the Nintendo philosophy, where like, if we come out with a new peripheral, we'll come out with a new game for it. So if you have a game that needs a peripheral, you kind of want to make that with the peripheral.
And I think the one thing that they didn't want with Kinect was plastic things everywhere.
I don't buy that, because if the original release trailer had them like scanning their skateboard and drums and...
I know what he means, but I mean having
bundling plastic things with it.
Well, but I know what he meant, but I'm just saying that the whole part of the original appeal for Kinect was the idea of taking these real world items and implanted it into the game. So there's no way to get around that without having plastic items, even if
no, because that's the point, is that they don't, you don't need a plastic one. You can just use a real one.
Well, when he says plastic items, I'm just thinking about any type of real world item that's beyond the controller or something in addition to your gaming experience that you need. You're thinking like actual plastic peripherals.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of anything.
The Wii Wheel and the Guitar Hero guitar.
Guitar Hero, you know,
The good way that they did it, the way that you do it is how Microsoft have done it until now, at least, with Connectimals, where you can go out and buy these cuddly toys of these cats, and it's got like a tag on them, and you scan that into Kinect, and you get that in your game. That's how you do it, because at least then, like, your kid or whatever gets this cuddly toy and extra stuff in the game.
Here's something else, I guess. Is do you expect Microsoft to announce any type of new hardware?
No. Windows Phone 8.
That's not hardware, though, is it?
Well, they could bring out new hardware. I don't think they'll do it, but yeah.
I don't think they will, but they need to. As far as I'm concerned, the new console generation needs to happen now, and Nintendo have got the right idea.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think this generation's going a little wrong in the truth. But at the same hand, is Sony nor Microsoft can afford to start a new generation after recouping their initial investment into this generation 6 years later?
Microsoft aren't just recouping it.
You know what would make Microsoft's press conference win?
Free Xbox Live?
That would be cool too. But then they'll get hacked. No, I'm just kidding. No, but if they take the whole PSN debacle and just totally, like, spit in their face, in Sony's face with it.
Sony did it last year.
I was about to say, I hate when that happens.
I think it's awesome.
I've always hated the cheap pot shots at people.
No, I'm not saying, they'll probably take pot shots too, but I mean, like, I don't know.
There's no way for them to do it and not be a pot shot. You could say giving away free who you trust for a week was kind of a cheap shot or something like that. But, I just don't see. I don't want them to do that. I know all three of them do it in their own special ways. Sony's usually the most overt about it. But I really hate the whole cheap, because it comes off as like nothing more than fanboy shamery by just like,
so you
can
think of anything
you hear what
else
he said.
To pick on the competition.
But that's the thing, though. It's funny when it's not fanboys and it's like executives.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it's like you would expect better from these people. But I don't know. What was I gonna say? Oh, okay. Xbox Live, we mentioned that before. Any type of new features, services that you think they will provide
Skype.
This year?
Skype, for sure. Given
Skype is, all it will do be is the original, like, Kinect chat with the Kinect or the Vision camera just integrated with Skype, so you can just ring people on your Skype.
But that's the thing, it'll be integrated with Skype, so you can use it with everyone instead of just people with Kinect.
Yeah.
So it'll actually be a lot more useful and cool.
It'd actually be good.
Instead of a novelty, it'll have like practical use.
Well, I mean, it has practical use now.
Well, only if you know somebody with a Kinect.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody with a Kinect. So if I was to if I had a Kinect, it'd be completely useless.
I do, but I don't know anyone that's actually used video.
The video chat. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it seems like a lot of setup. Like, you have to turn on the TV. You got
to
get it situated when
and
I can just, like, turn on Skype.
You want to do that and, like...
Yeah.
Skype would be... You just have your Skype friends list and stuff and, you know, all of that.
Speaking of, this is somewhat Skype-related. Has anybody seen... does anybody remember the Avatar thing they announced at CES?
Avatar, chat room thing.
Yeah, like where you sit down and like a
Avatar Connect.
Like talk. Okay, yeah. So I assume we expect more from that at E3.
That's supposed to come out soon.
Didn't they announce it a while ago?
They announced it at CES in January, but we haven't heard anything about it since they announced it.
When Hulu came out, they
probably
said
that was
going to come out in like June or July or something. That's coming out soon.
Which would make sense for them to have a big kind of E3 reveal of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. I guess I could see that. They could even be like, hey, you can download this right now.
Yeah, they've had a tendency to do that. Where, like, oh, if you go to Xbox Live right now, you can check out this great content or whatever. What else is there? Arcade games. I don't know of much offhand right now, but Microsoft usually has some type of focus on the arcade. No, the Summer of Arcade. Do we know what we expected?
Not off the top of my head. The Behemoth game, I guess. I don't know if that's supposed to come out this year.
I expect a Shadow of the Chaos, a Shadow Complex 2.
I would want a Shadow Complex 2. That game was awesome.
I would, but what's that Cedar Chair? Have been pretty busy with like Infinity Blade and stuff, and they seem more interested in that. I mean, everyone wants a Shadow Complex 2, so
I
wouldn't put it out.
Well, I mean, it's been like 2 years.
I mean, I wouldn't say there's no way it'll happen, but I would be mildly surprised to see it, I think. I hope it happens. That was probably my favorite arcade game ever.
Yes. Are the ones, as people say, that prove that arcade games could be just as compelling as retail products or something like that. What do we expect from Kingdom? I know we mentioned a rumor about it like 2 weeks ago where it might be a first-person melee game on Kinect.
I stick with my petty little prediction that it's Toy Story 4. that would kick my friend in the ass because he sold his 360 and got a PS3. And if Time Splitters 4 was Kingdoms and it was exclusive, like proper exclusive, not Microsoft exclusive, that would be so funny. And it means I get Time Splitters 4.
You see, I don't see Time Splitters being an exclusive game.
Yeah. No, it won't be, but I know it's a very long stretch, me, like, talking about Kingdom.
He's just wishfully thinking that we'll even see Time Splitters at all.
E3 is already my Christmas, right? And if Time Splitters 4 were to be announced, and it would be exclusive to 360, it'd be my Christmas of all Christmases.
But we've seen a teaser for Kingdom, and it doesn't... I guess you think that was like a decoy. He doesn't look like,
Well, here's the thing, I think, is that the only way it's going to be exclusive is if it is a Kinect game. Because otherwise, you know, nobody's done that third-party exclusive in a while, and Microsoft and Sony have shown that it's not worth them paying for a third-party exclusive at this point.
I don't think...
So the only way it would make sense for either party is if it used their new hardware in a unique way that can't be duplicated on the other one.
I think the third-party exclusive is kind of going away in the Dodo. It really makes no sense anymore from a third-party point of view to limit your market share.
Yeah, and I mean, good.
Especially in this generation when you don't have a out-and-out winner like the PS2. I mean, yes, you have something like the Wii, but because of how software sells on that, you never had anything as compelling as, like, you know, an exclusive library like the PS2 had. Going forward, I think Microsoft is going to try to work on these exclusive content deals, which is a bit more compelling.
No.
See, I don't think so. Like, they used to, but that seems like a kind of torch that Sony's picked up lately.
The exclusive content is not an incentive to buy a game on a platform. I've never seen anyone get swayed by exclusive content to buy a game on a platform.
Right here. City, PS3, Joker's DLC.
I would have bought Portal on PS3 if I had one, just because of the free Steam thing.
That's not really exclusive content, though. That's Valve just making the best of what they can.
Well, it's something I would have gotten with a PS3 copy.
Exclusive content is Homefront only gets these maps on Xbox 360.
But it kind of is, though, because it's something that I get with a PS3 copy that I wouldn't get with a 360 copy.
Yeah. It's the same way that I'm sure people are going to buy War on the PS3.
And it wasn't specifically arranged. By Sony, it just so happened that way because Microsoft were dicks about Xbox Live and Steam integration with it. So,
Sony?
I don't know anyone who got Fallout New Vegas on 360 because of the DLC coming out on it early. They wouldn't have got it on 360 early. I don't know anyone who didn't get a Call of Duty game because of the exclusive content.
What about Call of Duty?
What about GTA 4? I know people who got that because of the exclusive DLC.
I don't know anyone who got GTA 4 on 360 just because of the DLC, or Fallout 3 just because of the DLC. I don't know anyone other than, who's been swayed by exclusive content like that.
I know people who were swayed by GDQ.
Wait, Daniel just said he doesn't know anyone that's been swayed by exclusive content except for those that have been swayed by exclusive content.
And that's it. I was the only person.
There's a ton of people who bought Arkham Asylum over on PS3 because of the Joker's content.
Well, look, you're not going to get someone that's decided already, but if someone's on the fence and there's this one little tipping point and they otherwise don't care, like all things equal, yeah, why wouldn't they?
I'm sure you also got people who bought
Value Controls over.
Well, that's the thing. That's not all things equal, though. Like, if someone just hated one controller and just hated playing games with it and wanted to play it with the other controller, that's, you know. But if someone was really indifferent and the only difference to them is that little extra piece you get, it makes more sense for them to do that.
Or even, I guess the bigger thing is, like, people who buy, like, if you bought a console for GTA, it's like, did I get it for the 360 because I get the promise of this exclusive content, or do I buy a PS3? And that's even before you buy the system, or you have a choice of, oh, I'm a multi-platform owner, I can get it on either or. It's like, oh, I'm gonna buy a 360 because I'm getting more content with my purchase of GTA. And you can't, I don't want to say it's, I know the 360 has a bigger market share, but I was going to say it's hard to say people don't get swayed by that when you look at the sale figures for something like Call of Duty on the 360 versus the PS3. Or even, I could be mistaken, but I think Mortal Kombat sold better on the PS3 than the 360 because of Kratos. Oh, that's another example that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah, but
so
this
kind of a two.
It's just the thing, right? It's Mortal Kombat is a unique... is a unique thing now because I know it wasn't supposed to pan out this way, but right now the Xbox 360 has better exclusive features than because it has multiplayer, whereas the PS3 version still doesn't have that even though PSN is up.
But people didn't make that decision back then.
No, it's just the way that things pan out.
But yeah, like we talked about at the beginning of our podcast, Soul Calibur 2 is a perfect example of a game that sold because of exclusive content.
Yeah, how many games that were on all three of those systems can you say sold best on GameCube?
Yeah, so. There's no reason for the GameCube version. GameCube had the worst D-pad of the generation.
Well, Soul Calibur is a game you don't use.
They use the analog stick, but yeah, there's no reason that game sold better on the GameCube other than the fact that ink was in it. So, I mean, I think exclusive content does have a place. I think it does help sell. And even if it's only a few hundred thousand people, you just have to think of it as it's 50,000 people buying my copy that aren't buying their copy. And that works out to like a... It doesn't work out to a thousand, but it works out to a thousand different sales. 100,000 different sales. Because it's 50,000 people you get that they don't.
Yeah.
Exclusive content, I just...
Yeah, I'm not going to say I don't... Actually, I don't mind. Exclusive content to a console,
This is exactly why I don't think that... I think that Microsoft need to announce a new console, but won't. Because publishers and Microsoft and Sony are completely happy with ripping their customers off like they are right now. You know, they don't need to rip their customers off any more than they do. They make enough money.
And I know you don't like that answer, but at the end of the day, I never fault a company for making money. Yes, at the end of the day, sometimes it is at the fault of the consumer.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's because companies are greedy, because companies are designed to be greedy. That's the whole point of the company being there, is to make money. But I just hate it. You know?
I don't disagree with you. It's a terrible thing if you are a fan who gets kind of dicked over because these companies want to make money, but I'm never going to fault a company for making money or trying to make money because at the end of the day, that is what they exist for.
And let's face it, most exclusive content is going to be available anyway, except for something like Kratos, where it's just like rights, but...
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like everyone I know who bought Mortal Kombat PS, they're like, oh yeah, Kratos is shit. I'm like, cool, so it wasn't even worth it.
Well, I mean, the D-pad's better on that too, so.
Oh, it's not hard. Yeah. Let's face it.
But, wow, I actually didn't think we were going to stretch that to an hour, but we did. I was going to say, is there any type of content or game that you expect Microsoft to either announce or showcase at their conference from third parties?
Call of Duty.
Well, I meant...
Well, does that not count as a video game anymore?
It counts as a video game, but I think we all kind of know that the Microsoft... Because they have the... We already know they have their exclusive DLC till 2012 or 2013. So that's going to be a highlight of their show. But I'm thinking more like... You know, I was thinking that they probably have like a GTA. They might have a segment on Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Ooh, they could drop the GTA 5 reveal.
Yeah.
Because that'll probably be at E3.
I think they go first. I think they're first. Or is it Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo?
Usually it's Microsoft first.
I think it's Microsoft, Sony.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have these dates written down. I know Nintendo's has because they're on a completely different date.
I'm interested to see how they turn a 140 button game in Steel Battalion into a Kinect game.
Well, I mean, so we get it out there and so people know, Microsoft press conference is Monday, June 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time, which is like 6 p.m. for Daniel. So you can have dinner and watch this. I'm kind of disappointed.
I should be able to have my exams over and done with.
I'm disappointed they haven't announced a circus yet. But I guess you can't expect one every year.
They're not announcing the name of Kinect, so they don't need a circus.
But yeah,
maybe for the next Xbox we'll get a circus. You can look forward to that.
I look forward to that. I for one always like Microsoft shows. I think they keep a balance that neither Nintendo nor Sony can do.
They don't talk about numbers because we don't care about numbers.
Theirs is always more of a show.
Yeah, because that part of it is that unlike Sony focuses too much on stats, and Nintendo focuses too much on how awesome they are,
and how many new people they've managed to introduce to gaming in the last year. We don't care, Nintendo's giving.
Well, that's what I meant by being awesome. It's like, it's very popular. Yeah. We got friends now.
Give us the.
That's the thing is,
we have talented to us.
And I like Nintendo, but it really does it drags on when they start like. Oh, there used to be this girl who never played video games, and within the last year, she started playing Wii Sports Resort, and we want to continue to expand. Yes, we get it. You want to expand that audience. You tell us this every year, and you work at it every year. Just show us the games that's going to do it. And we don't need a 10-minute build-up. But yeah, Microsoft, I mean, last year was kind of I think probably their worst conference to date. I could be mistaken, but... Part of it was that they announced, like, three games, and then the other half of it was dedicated to Kinect. And at the time, Kinect just didn't look that appealing other than Dance Central.
Well, it still doesn't, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't, but we shall see how that changes this year. So, final thoughts on Microsoft at E3.
Give us games. I want a reason to buy games on 360 and not PC.
And just for the Jason.
I don't know. Surprise
also,
me with something.
Time Splitters 4.
Oh yeah, Time Splitters 4 would be cool. I don't care if it's exclusive. I just want it.
Okay. Yes, and that's what Microsoft needs from me too. Is that Microsoft has the biggest opportunity to surprise us because nobody's expecting anything from them at the moment.
I don't really expect to be wowed or disappointed. Let's just put it that way, I guess.
At this point, I expect them to have a decent show, nothing too over the top. But one or two huge surprises, and I'm firmly in their camp of, you know, they have a chance to win E3 because they have the best chance to surprise and shock people.
I think, though, unless Nintendo just really fucks up with their new console,
How could Nintendo do that?
We're going to talk about that in the future, but that's what I was going to say. Nintendo has the best opportunity to win E3 based on paper, but they also have the biggest opportunity to squander it because of the hype they have built in with the whole console reveal. I don't want to say this too negative, but if Nintendo comes out and you just kind of get like a Mario Galaxy tech demo or Zelda Skyward Sword Uprising HD, it doesn't do anything for most people because it's just like, oh, Okay, it's more Nintendo stuff.
That's what they'll do.
Well, I'm not saying I don't want to see Mario and Zelda in HD, but I'm saying that they need something. It doesn't need to just be in HD. It needs to be something that's worth this whole 6-year difference. It's like you see it and like, oh, okay, Nintendo's finally entered the game. And I think that's the thing, is that if they don't wow people right off the gate, is that they have a lot of pressure on them to deliver, because they're already the ones delivering a new console at this E3, so the focus is on them.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that when we get to Nintendo, who won't be next week. Next week will be Sony. And before E3, we'll do a big wrap, because, you know, 3 weeks from now, there's going to be a lot of news that drops, so we're just going to do a big wrap-up. The show before then, but quick notes, for anybody out here who actually listens to this, I have two people on Twitter who are competing for a T-Mobile contest to go to E3, so if you want to support them, check out Adam's share, who's been a guest on the show several times, and Nick Z. I have no idea how to pronounce his last name. I'll put up the links when this show goes out.
How's it spelled?
It's Zasawsk.
Yeah.
I want to say something like Zawoski, but I really just butcher it, so yeah.
Do you have to like the T-Mobile page as well? Because I have liked Adam's, but not the T-Mobile page if you have to.
No, I don't think you have to like the T-Mobile page. I think you just have to... the contest should be going live as we're recording this. They haven't put up the links yet, so I'll figure that out once this goes live tomorrow. But, help them out if you can, if you want to support them. As for us, as always, if you want to be nice and leave iTunes reviews, it
do
helps.
Do it. 5 stars, there's no other star rating possible, just do it. If you don't like us, put 5 stars, it really helps us out.
As Daniel said, this is a Christmas time for us gamers. Summertime is an awesome time to be a nerd, between all the summer movies, the summer blockbusters.
It's a shame that there's actually no games that actually come out.
But you have no games, but you get a ton of, like, there's a movie a week this summer for me. There's,
I suppose movies are cheaper.
There's E3, there's San Diego Comic Con.
I finished college. That's
I think I'm going to go to that this year.
Are you?
I'm excited. I couldn't go last year, but this year I think I'm going to.
Yeah, so summer's an awesome time to be a nerd, so I can't wait. But yes, 3 weeks is the big show, the big dance. Actually, it's a bit sooner than that, because Konami actually starts the week before. And everybody knows E3 ain't a party until Konami has their presser. But for Daniel, Jason, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding Episode 32.
I feel the same.
Yeah, there we go.